Turn, if you would, to the final chapter of Isaiah. Verse 17. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens, well, that verse starts in a very promising way, does it not? Here we have a deeply religious people who wish to go through ritual purification ahead of an act of worship. They are sanctified. They are purified. They're going to the gardens, though. How strange. Ah, after an idol in the midst. Evidently, the people whom Isaiah is describing in that 17th verse are idolaters. They are worshippers of a false god. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Not the God of Isaiah. But one in their midst, an idol. Furthermore, they eat swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse. A strange reference there to a mouse. I imagine Isaiah knew more about its background than perhaps we do. But evidently some ritual, some unclean food connected to the false god which these ever so devout people are off to worship in this lovely garden. And yet their end is that they will be consumed together. And the Lord has decreed it. And here we have people who are quite sincerely going about their idolatrous religion. They don't turn up to their idol in any old state. They have been purified. They have been sanctified according to the rites of their religion. But their end is the same. And then there is a contrast in the following verse. Now, the context beyond verse 18 makes it clear that the people described here are godly people. For I know their works and their thoughts. I don't think he's talking now about the idolaters in the garden who are due for consumption. He's talking about those who were faithful. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And what they have done, God knows and has recorded. Even what they have been thinking, God knows and has recorded. It's quite possible to do this and do that, but our thoughts are not right. But these people, their thoughts are known to God. And he's going to gather people together from all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. I think the immediate context of what Isaiah is seeing is the return of the exiles to the promised land. And yet I think verse 18 quite clearly is fulfilled in the first coming of Christ, but also in the second, and the gospel age which is in between. I'm not of Jewish origin. My forebears were worshipping rocks and stones. They were going to the garden, sanctified and purified, to worship an idol. And yet through the gospel, I am one of a foreign nation and a foreign tongue, who will come and see the glory of God. And I will look at verse 19 and following perhaps next week. But we have here a contrast between two types of worshipper. The first type of worshipper has gone through a religious rigmarole. They consider themselves pure, and yet in fact they despoil themselves by worshipping the idol in the midst of them. They eat swine's flesh, which was forbidden them. They partake of abomination. And there's something there to do with the rodent. And their end is destruction. And all false religion, even if it be sincerely held, is the way of death. It might seem right to a man, but its end is death. On the other hand, those who are known to God, their works and their thoughts, that not just a knowledge God has of everything and everyone, because he knows the actions and the thoughts of all, but there is an intimacy here between God and his people, they who call upon his name. Their future is not one of consumption and destruction. It is one of gathering. Now, we remarked in our prayer time before that there's only a few of us here tonight. But one day we shall be invited to the biggest celebration, worship event, gathering in the whole of history. All the pure angels, all the redeemed people of God will be there. It won't be eight people sitting in the chapel at a midweek meeting. Abraham will be there. Isaac will be there. Isaiah will be there. The missionary to Mongolia and his family will be there. Our friends and relatives who have gone before will be there. How many people in the past 200 years have occupied the pews in which you are sitting? I dare say not all of them were born again, but a great many were, and they will be there. And the future of those who are known to God is that they will be gathered. And though they come from different nations, they have different languages, they're united in Christ. And what will happen when they come? They will see glory. Someone asked me, what does it mean when it talks about glory in the Bible? I found it quite hard to answer. The brilliance of God. The incredible, ineffable beauty of God. I will settle for the indescribable wonder of God. That gets me off the hook. But whatever the glory of God is, we're going to see it. They will come and they will see not just any old glory, but my glory. Again, we're all believers here tonight. But there are two types of worshipper mentioned in verses 17 and 18. I thank God I'm in the second category. Not because I'm more pious than the people in verse 17. Not because my rituals are more impressive. Not because my knowledge is greater. But because I am invited, as you are, to come and see the glory of God. Amen. Amen.